here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You are a breath of fresh air. I can't wait to hear you again.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
So as we keep an eye on the horizon of Washington, D.C., our own Congressman Jim Himes is getting a lot of national spotlight. I don't know if you notice how often he's on CNN now. He's on all these different stations. He's really getting a national reputation. He was one of the contributing people. Well, he happened to be in the chamber on Wednesday, and he was one of the contributing sources in the Wall Street Journal play-by-play that was published today. But we are turning our eyes and ears now. Before we get to our next guest, Andrew, do we have anything going on in the impeachment right now, or is it still on sort of like a proxy and counting and stuff like that? Where are we? Can you tell? Someone's speaking? All right, let's do this, and then we're going to get with Wayne Winston. It's Wednesday. We have our conversations and current events and all of that. We haven't caught up with him in a week, so Wayne Winston on hold, but let's go a little bit to the impeachment hearings.
On the rule, H. Res. 41.
Does the gentlewoman from Florida seek recognition?
Madam Speaker, as the member designated by Mr. Payne of New Jersey, pursuant to H. Res. 8, I inform the House that Mr. Payne will vote yea on H. Res. 41. And Madam Speaker, as the member designated by Mr. Hastings of Florida, pursuant to H. Res. 8, I inform the House that Mr. Hastings will also vote yea on H. Res. 41.
Oh, that is okay. So what you just heard was Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Florida. And let me just tell you where we are, because it's proxy votes. There aren't that many people in the chamber. I don't think there are that many people allowed at one time. I see everyone wearing masks because of the new rule requiring them to, because of the fact that some congressmen and congresswomen got sick last week from being in such close proximity. Let's go to somebody else who was speaking. Who is that? Let's see. This is Representative Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, Democrat, representing Cambridge, Medford, and Framingham. All right, so let me tell you where we are. The Democrats are voting thus far. We have 74 Republicans voting nay. We have 49 Democrats voting yay. We don't have any Republicans voting yay. And we don't have any Democrats voting nay. So thus far, this bipartisan effort to impeach President Trump has been a big fat flop. Now it's 77 Republicans voting nay. Oh, this is the resolution to have 2 hours of debate. This is not on the impeachment resolution itself. I see. Ah, well, okay. If this rule passes, then they go to 2 hours of debate on impeachment. Right. But if they vote against the 2 hours of debate on impeachment, chances are they're going to vote against impeachment. Very interesting. The Republicans are racking it up with votes of a nay, and the Democrats are racking it up with votes of a yay. And thus far, there is zero bipartisan cooperation for anything.
For what purpose?
And so there we are. And I guess it begs the question, what would it take? What will it take? What are some people missing? What are some Democrats missing? What are some mainstream media people missing? When we have so many Republicans who represent their own districts in America still apparently not willing to go ahead with impeachment of President Trump. What is that about? All right, let's go to Wayne Winston. Wayne Winston joins us on Wednesdays. Wayne Winston on Wednesdays on the Lisa Wexler Show. He's a member of the NAACP. He speaks not only for himself, but on behalf of many members in the black community. Wayne, welcome to the show today. Good morning.
Oh, I'm very, very happy to be on today. You know, Lisa, it's still amazing to me how difficult this thing, and it shouldn't really be, but it is, because there's still some people who believe that the election was stolen. There's still some people who have a problem seeing the difference between a Black Lives Matter movement and what happened at the Capitol. And if you listen to the facts as they are, and this is if you trust the facts, because remember, we're told don't trust the media, which is really the mainstream, ABC, NBC, CBS, so on and so forth. They're showing you people scaling the walls of the Capitol. In fact, the House was in session with the Republicans who were going to challenge the election itself. That's what they were there for, to make it official. We don't accept what happened as Biden, you know, being the president, despite what all the numbers had said. So we already had this thing going on, and yet still this group of people came in through a rally that was arranged for months that everybody knew about. And, you know, New York Police Department warned them, based upon the people who are coming, the Proud Boys and people who we already know long term are violent, there still wasn't the protection around the Capitol. So that's the complexity. I think it's hard for people just to accept that there is still that kind of hatred in this country. People who hate anti-government, the Timothy McVeighs, those guys are saying, bring out Pence. I mean, he's the Republican. He's the conservative Republican. He's the guy you've been supporting, but not everybody supports the same views as Republicans / or Democrats. But we're dealing with the extreme side here that always existed in this country, the militia and so on. And these guys all gathered up through social media and created an event that our president basically advertised and supported.
Let me ask you this, Wayne. We're chatting with Wayne Winston. Wayne, you have an ear to the ground of a lot of black activists in our community and black community, not necessarily activists, but people in the black community. What were their reactions? What was your own personal reaction to what happened on Wednesday? There was a lot of talk that if the people, and I know that you called into the show a few days ago, there was a lot of talk that if people had been outside the Capitol with black faces, regardless of what they were asking for, but if they had had black faces, that the outcome would have been different. First of all, do you believe that?
Absolutely. And I think it's established by the perimeters that were set up for the Black Lives Matters to begin with. They were never allowed to get that close to a Capitol. That's, you know, pre-planned. It's you're doing crowd control. You're doing all those things that could potentially go wrong. So, no, we never got that close. And obviously I wasn't there, but the people in that movement, the black and the white, in fact, there were more white Americans than there were black people in that. And they were tear gassed, you know. So we had very little of that. And how they got to the Capitol steps to climb the wall, we know as black people, they just would have opened fire. We also know that they would have had a huge police presence because there is a tolerance that is in America that says, you know, hey, these white guys are going to come there and they're going to do something. They'll be within the parameters. They're going to be peaceful. Whereas they see us as agitators when there's a lot of us together because they just think that's what we're going to do. And that's unfortunate. It's one of the challenges that we have. And I want to remind the listeners that during these times, black churches across the country were telling you about these disenchanted people, you know, the dog whistles that the president was sending out, you know, and Republicans were supporting. You know, listen, these are neo-Nazi anti-government people. We know how hateful that they can be. We've had our churches burned from people who think like that. That hatred that we saw that America is stunned with, my God, I can't believe it. So much hate. How does that happen? Well, it was directed towards the white community. That's the difference. We've seen those faces generationally. And that's what's going on in our community. Parents, uncles, grandparents, when people came to their homes to get them to come outside and we lost lives, it's that type of thing. And we have to stand up to fight this. Good people like yourself, good people like the listeners, do not be confused. These are not conservative Republicans. It's not your Reagan Republicans. These people are anti-government, white supremacist, racist, and all of those things have always been about violence for this change. For us to be peaceful, we've always been peaceful. During the Civil Rights Movement, we were the ones that had our heads split open with John Lewis and Dr. King. That had to be the strategy because you couldn't stand and fight that system. or it would have fell on deaf ears. They said, see, they're fighting back. We knew they're going to be violent. So these people here are sending us a message, and we have to stand together to fix it now like we fixed it then, because they're not going away. And I want all families to be safe, black and white.
So Wayne Winston, you know, we didn't have a chance really also to digest the historic win in Georgia, which is going to have an enormous impact on Senator Biden's ability to govern. Some people think good and bad. Do you think that that having the Senate in the hands of the Democrats, as somebody who looks at the American political process and now with the House, but it's very, very narrow. You know, Kamala Harris is actually going to be a working senator with a tie-breaking vote a lot of the times, unless we can get some bipartisan cooperation for a change in this country. I mean, do you think that that's going to be helpful to Joe Biden to have all the levers of power? What do you think? Or do you think it's going to be misused by the left progressive wing of the Democratic Party? Because the Democratic Party has not made a persuasive argument to many people in the heartland. I mean, other than President Trump, who's a bit of an anomaly in terms of his own personality, other than President Trump, the Republicans did surprisingly well in the last election. So I'm just curious, think about how the Democrats should tread during the beginning of the Biden administration.
It's not going to be easy, and I need to let the audience know. I've been a political consultant for many years for black candidates, white candidates, Republican candidates, in a number of situations. So what's happening here is that we have a reckoning, so to speak. There's people who are in the far right who feel there's no place to have race fall in as a measure to make things better. They think that should be non-existent. The Democrats think that's important. Hence, that's why they're always talking about gay rights, a right to choose, so on and so forth. That polarizing things puts the Republicans on one side and the Democrats on the other. And sometime if you can meet in the middle, that's great. Now, the Democrats haven't had control of all three since for a short time when President Obama first got elected. So,
right, 2008 to 2010. And then the Democrats started losing like mad. That's right.
Absolutely. And that falls into how we got to here, because when President Obama got elected, Republicans changed parties in record numbers. If you remember, it was a landslide when he beat McCain. And McCain was a good guy. But the same type of mindsets that we're facing now at the Capitol, they started the Tea Party. And you started getting conservative, classic Republicans pushed out by these really far right-leaning people. And they are started through those 8 years. And then Donald Trump basically runs upon that because he realizes, hey, this is an untapped group here. I need to use them to get in. And with his number one guy, Steve Bannon, comes from Breitbart News. Absolutely. Any of you listeners, you got your computer, type in Steve Bannon. He was already a racist and Nazi going in, and that was his chief of staff. So black people are saying, we know what he's going to do, how he got in. And he stoked that the whole time, because he knew that was going to be his platform, and we're dealing with that end. So down in, as Democrats go, of course we're going to try to put people in courts that care about that stuff, because that's what we care about. Donald Trump put over 300 judges in office. So when they ask, are you going to stack the courts? Of course, we're going to try to put people in there that reflect that. That's the balance. Now, how long we'll have it remains to be seen. But we do have work to do to make this a country for everybody, free of religious prosecution. If I don't agree with your religion, you should be able to have it. I just disagree with it. You shouldn't be chastised or hurt for it. The thing with George Floyd, the things that's going on with the police, that's going to be a big deal. In fact, that's one of the reasons that there was so much pushback from the white community that supported us, that wanted to take out Trump, but they felt maybe we're going to be a little soft on crime. We can't allow the black people to come and do these things and say that the police aren't doing their job. There's some talk that needs to happen. There's some real-life things that need to happen. We can't have any more George Floyds or Breonna Taylors, but it takes an administration that will listen to that. So we have a chance to make America better. That's what I see out of this. Out of all this crazy coronavirus, God always has his own plan. And he saved a lot of people, even though a lot were taken from us. And I'll finish with this. If you politicize wearing a mask to say who you support, your doctor is saying wear a mask. It keeps you from conveying this horrible virus. Had we got on this early, how many of our seniors would still be here, our families? So there was something wrong with that. And not just with President Trump, but the Republicans, who are those far-right crazy guys, and not all of them, but enough of them, that made that a place to stand. And they were still saying that, Ted Cruz, on Monday and Tuesday, going into this thing, that they disputed the American system that just said, hey, you got outvoted. We didn't love Trump either. A lot of people didn't. But we didn't go to war. And that's what these guys want. So we have to be careful.
I get it. Yeah, I hear you, Wayne. In our own community here in Connecticut, were a lot of people very thrilled about the win in Georgia? How did that go down? Were there whooping and hollering about that? It was a pretty big win. Pretty huge win.
Oh, my God. It was such a validation of what we can do as a community, because black people feel disenfranchised because often we are, and there was a lot of things that were done.
I saw an interesting piece, Wayne. I saw a really interesting piece. It was an op-ed written. I can't remember where I read it. I read so many op-eds. And it was written by a man who said that he had moved back down to Atlanta from living in Brooklyn for a lot of his life. And he loved living in Atlanta as a black man. He loved it. He loved everything about living in Atlanta. I think he felt like he was really part of a majority upper business class person in a way that he never felt in New York. And he was encouraging a new great migration. The original great migration was from south to north. And he was trying to encourage people to move back down south to reestablish themselves as healthy, vital, important black participating citizens down south. And I just thought it was just a really interesting point of view that he thought he could have a much better life down south as a black man than he could up north.
Well, there's still a lot of barriers out here. One of the big things are jobs. And you touched on this with one of your studies last week. The Great Migration from north to south after Jim Crow, basically, was there were jobs here. We weren't stuck in those places. We have to create that environment, not just for black people, but for working class Americans, period. And that doesn't exist. So how industry goes, that's how our community and economically grows. If you want to see the crime change, all of those things, it all has to do with them creating that atmosphere that we can survive in.
Wayne, I'm going to interrupt you. We're going to go quickly. Maureen, would you like to join the conversation? You're on the air with Wayne Winston and myself. Hey, Maureen, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hello, Maureen.
So, Wayne, I have to ask why Breonna Taylor and George Floyd are continually being set up on pedestals as great citizens. Apparently, George Floyd was involved with all kinds of negative activity and had a real love-hate relationship with the officer who shot them. They were friends, and then all of a sudden he went ballistic and shot him. And Breonna Taylor's car was being used for drug running and for an old boyfriend, and yet they're put before us as great citizens of America. And the other thing is, why is it always negated that Trump actually gave money to the black universities and was actually trying to support black lives? I never heard anything like that from the Obama administration. Never heard that he was doing anything positive for his people in the whole 8 years he was there. So, but he seems to be touted as this paragon of virtue.
Thanks, Maureen. Wayne, I'll let you grab that, but you've only got 2 minutes, maybe, and then we've got to come up against a break. Go ahead, Wayne.
Maureen, thanks for the call. Two things. One, President Obama There were so many things that he did. There is something called My Brother's Keeper that was set up while he was in office, which helped young black men in particular build self-esteem, create some opportunities in their community beyond the people who donated to it. To Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, are neither one of them are supposed to be perfect people. They just deserve their day in court and a chance to live to tell the tale like most of us get. George Floyd was not shot. He had his knee, the officer's knee was on his neck, shaven. The whole world saw it. That's what triggered all of these marches, because it was the last straw. Breonna Taylor's car wasn't used for drugs and so on. It was an old boyfriend. You know, if you have young people in your family, they date who they date. They weren't even dating anymore. But that doesn't give law enforcement the right to go to her home and shoot out her whole place and just not do the diligence that they needed to do. We don't hear these stories in white communities because it doesn't happen in white communities. You're not going to see the white kid choked out. You're not going to see him shot to death at a traffic stop. You're not going to see those things because it doesn't exist. That's what we are protesting. That's what the marches are about. Give whoever you have, even if you have a problem, give them their day in court. Then that'll be sorted out.
Thank you very much, Wayne, for speaking on that. And listen, we're going to be covering the impeachment tomorrow. Let's see what happens today. I'm never happy when I see everything going Democrat and Republican again. It's so discouraging. If we can't agree on some common way in which we saw what happened on Wednesday, I'm going to get very depressed. Anyway, Wayne, thank you very much for calling in today. Thanks for being on the show. Let's see what happens in America. I think that the mass establishment is moving very definitely toward trying to excise Donald Trump from being associated with a lot of different business enterprises and governments. But on the other hand, the people will have their way. And I don't think the story is over at all. I think it's far from over. So we're going to have to wrestle with it. Wayne Winston, thank you very much for being on the show. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show.